Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
If you look at both Old and New Testament, there's a massive stories in there. And now doing what I do, this is probably one of the greatest of all the stories in the Old Testament. When I reached my early teens, I kind of got out of that. I was more interested in other things. But it stayed there like a conscience, really. And I think so. This early religious instruction did really stay with me.
That's Ridley Scott, famous movie director and director of the forthcoming movie that debuts tomorrow, Exodus, Gods and Kings. It's about the Exodus. The title says it all. It has some amazing star power, and it's going to tell the story, I'm sure, like it's never been told before. Of course, the ability to put those special effects on the screen mean that we're going to see what it looks like when the Red Sea crosses. It isn't going to be kind of the cheesy special effects that we've all grown up on in the Ten Commandments. It's going to be something else. It's going to be a spectacle. But is there more to the story than the spectacle of plagues on Egypt, of warfare against the Egyptians and the children of Israel, of the flight from Egypt and of the crossing of the Red Sea? Could a movie get all that right, all those elements of the narrative right, and still miss the point of the Old Testament story of the Exodus? Or is the point of making a movie like this even to get the point of the Old Testament Exodus? Maybe it is just spectacle. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Live this Thursday afternoon, the 11th of December, Pastor Ted Giese joins us. We're looking for your expectations of the forthcoming movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Use the Issues Etc. comment line if you're listening on demand, 618-223-8382. Or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for your expectations of the movie Gods and Kings on the Exodus, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later, we'll continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in Isaiah chapter 61. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to talk about the forthcoming movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Should Christians in the audience, Christian moviegoers, expect for a movie like this to accurately portray the narrative of the Old Testament Exodus?
I think that's a bit of a sliding scale. I think that if you're an informed moviegoer, you're going to want to look at the director, the producer, the people behind the movie. And if you have a kind of a sense of where they're coming from, you may be able to ramp up that expectation or draw that expectation down. So, for instance, when Mel Gibson makes The Passion of the Christ and people know that he's a Roman Catholic, then and that he's a practicing one, particularly at that time, then the expectation is pretty high. In this particular case, Ridley Scott is somebody who's on the record as being an atheist, but now he calls himself an agnostic, which is kind of interesting. So there's some maybe movement there. And clearly this is a story from Scripture that he finds very fascinating. And at different times he's had some Christian themes in other films that he's made. And it even sounds like he's looking at doing a movie about King David coming up in the future as well. So he is going back to these sources. So you'd have to think that he would be somewhat interested in the actual source material itself, and that would be Holy Scripture.
What's the common downfall of movies that attempt to depict biblical stories or biblical characters, in your opinion?
I think that the modern way in which we tell stories kind of we want to have certain things in the story that sometimes aren't actually in the text of Scripture. So one of the downfalls is when you make things up to fill the gap. So that's one of the problems, right? From a Lutheran point of view, like, you know, we're not very interested in making things up to fill in gaps in the story. So, for instance, in Scripture, there's a bit of a gap between Moses as a baby, young child, and then later when one day when he's an adult, he's grown up, then he goes out and he finds the Egyptian who's abusing the Israelite. Like, there's a 30-year gap in there. So as a filmmaker, people want to fill in that gap. So that would be a spot where you're going to have to ask, what fills that gap? Where do I go to find information to fill that gap? Do I just make it up, or does it come from somewhere else?
Well, speaking of filling in gaps, let's listen to Cecil B. DeMille. He was director of the first attempt to make this into a big-budget movie, The Ten Commandments, on that very subject.
As many of you know, the Holy Bible omits some 30 years of Moses' life. From the time he was a 3-month-old baby and was found in the bulrushes by Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, and adopted into the court of Egypt, until he learned that he was Hebrew and killed the Egyptian. To fill in those missing years, we turn to ancient historians such as Philo and Josephus. Philo wrote at the time that Jesus of Nazareth walked the earth, and Josephus wrote some 50 years later and watched the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. These historians had access to documents long since destroyed, or perhaps lost, like the Dead Sea Scrolls.
What's the famous director of the Ten Commandments saying there, Ted?
Well, he went to find other kind of historical documents, but again, he's making some assumptions there. You know, you could hear in the actual quote. That's a quote that shows up at the beginning of that movie, by the way. So it's right at the very beginning. He comes out and he talks about the movie. I think it's super interesting because there is actually a spot in the Bible that does kind of talk about that period of time, but again, it's fairly vague too. Stephen, in the book of Acts, talks about that. There's a verse, Acts 7, verse 22, and it says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. That's it. That's the kind of period of time between those two spots. So you get something similar with Jesus, right? That, you know, he grew in stature and the favor of God was upon him. Like, that kind of language there. So what Cecil B. DeMille did was he went to Josephus, and in Josephus there's a section that talks about Moses as a military leader. Before leaving Egypt and going into, to be with the Midianites, right? So that's from the Antiquities of the Jews. So there's a section in there about him fighting with the Ethiopians for the Egyptians. So he just takes that and he uses that pretty much whole hog in his film version because it's part of that in-between part. And what really Scott's interested in is kind of the other details of Moses' story. So I'm curious as to these other extraordinary details of Moses' life. If these are other extraordinary details of Moses' life drawn straight from Scripture that don't get much film time, generally speaking, or if they're going to be stuff like this from Josephus. So one of those little spots where, you know, it doesn't show up in the movies very much is the spot where his Midianite wife, Zipporah, takes the flint and circumcises their son's foreskin as they're on their way back to Egypt. And she says, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, meaning now all my children are going to be circumcised because we're going to the Israelites. That's kind of interesting. Will he put that in this movie? Is that the kind of interesting detail he's interested in? I guess I'm interested to find out.
This is from several of our listeners, beginning with Michael in Kansas, who says, after seeing the movie Noah, my expectations are fairly low. We talked about Noah. Where did that movie stumble, lowering Michael's expectations?
Well, it really was a story of making a movie about the stuff in between the lines. There was a lot of filling things in, and it became a giant opinion piece, about... you know, what that director was trying to do with the movie. So that's where I think a lot of people are going into this. If or when Christian is going to go see this movie, I think that the expectations are pretty low, especially for Christians who have a high regard for scriptural inerrancy. Like Lutherans are going to have a pretty low expectation going into this movie. So there may be things that we would be pleasantly surprised at, but there also may be things that we're not going to be surprised at, right? That's kind of, I think, the thing. We're a little worried. We're kind of a little shy now because of seeing how these things have gone in the recent past.
Here is a comment from Jeremiah in Louisiana. The cinephile in me is hoping for a well-made movie. Ridley Scott has made some movies which I truly love, such as Alien and Blade Runner, as well as many other enjoyable and thought-provoking works. I want a movie where I can see creative minds being truly creative. That said, the theologian in me has pretty low expectations. From what I've seen of Scott's worldview and other works, especially his handling of the Crusades, Kingdom of Heaven, it does not give me hope for what will ultimately be found in this movie. I think the film will try to play too many religious and non-religious audiences' expectations and empty the biblical account of much of its theological richness. That, and I expect the filmmakers may be trying a bit too hard to simply remake the Ten Commandments. What are your thoughts there, Ted?
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be the case. Like, in the Ten Commandments, you only get four of the ten plagues. They just kind of gloss over a whole bunch of them. So I think that maybe he'll actually do all of them. We'll have to see, right? Is he remaking it? I think that one of the main themes of that Ten Commandments movie that I think he also finds interesting from reading articles and things about what he's said about it is that relationship between, like, this, and it's not something that's scriptural, but like that brotherly relationship between Pharaoh and Moses. I think that that's something that he's interested in, and that was a part of that Ten Commandments movie in the past. So in that way, he may be trying to, you know, strike twice with that, like have the lightning strike twice. He himself, in this Variety magazine article from November 25th, said that he always tries to place himself in the position of the central character and to try to come at it from my own logic. So he's imagining himself as Moses. And then he also said that once I accepted that, you know, that Moses actually lived and, you know, all of that kind of stuff was actually happening, that he had liberated the Israelites, then, you know, then he says, once I accepted all that, how do I proceed with the greatest respect to the story? And he says, it's so easy to give the finger to religions, and we've kind of got to stop that. If you believe, you believe. If you're faithful, you're faithful. I don't care what your religion is. The same if you're agnostic. That should be accepted too. So this is somebody who's 76 years old. He's had a lot of time in his life to think about these things. He's not 20 or 30 years old. He's not maybe got the same kind of axes to grind. So it's kind of curious to see what like these are his words about kind of his approach to this. And that's kind of interesting.
This tweet from Mark, at best some good special effects in showing the plagues and some decent acting. I'm not expecting anything proclaiming Christ. Now, that goes to the real heart of a Christian expectation, doesn't it, Pastor Giese?
It does. And, you know, like when we think of Christ in the Old Testament, and you guys, like at what issues, etc., that's something that's talked about quite a bit with Pastor Ketchel Meyer, for instance. And the burning bush, you know, is it one of those spots where we see Jesus? Like in the Old Testament, and you know, in Jude, it talks about how Jesus was the one who was involved in saving the Israelites. So we're looking for that in there. Now, is Ridley Scott looking for that in there? There's a character called Malak, who is a small portrayed by a small boy, And that's going to be like the voice of God, the angel that's there as God's representative in the movie. That's not going to fit really well exactly. It's not going to mesh perfectly with what we think of when we look at Scripture there in that part of Scripture. Like, that it's, you know, not going to come across super well to people who have a high regard for scriptural inerrancy.
Mark emails, he says, I do think it's kind of ridiculous that they cast a bunch of white people in the leads in this day and age. If you want to go colorblind all the way. Give us Denzel as Ramses. That would have been an interesting casting choice. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, I was having discussion about this on Facebook with some other people too, and somebody in a theater background had said, you know, like, you know, actors are actors, you know, like, and sometimes they get called to play different ethnicities and things along the way. And it is one of those things that has become a story around this movie. One of the people who have written about this is a guy from Georgia named David Dennis, and he's a writer, and he said that it's cinematic colonialism. That's the term that he's used for it. And then he was on CBC Radio on a program called The Current, and he was talking about it, and he said that, this is kind of an interesting thing, he said that the reason why getting the details right in a movie like Exodus, Gods and Kings is more important than getting them right in movies ranging from Harry Potter franchise movies to Marvel's Avengers, where Nick Fury, longtime comic book character, has always been depicted as white, suddenly shows up as a black person played by Samuel L. Jackson. The reason why it's important to get the details right in a movie like Exodus, Gods and Kings, is because, as he puts it, this isn't just a movie. It's not fiction, and it's greatly important to the world. If you think about it, it's really important to Muslims, Christians, and Jews. That's like most of the population of the world. So that's a pretty big group of people for whom this is very important stuff. So, you know, is that a level of detail that we're looking for as filmgoers, that we want to have like a cast of Egyptian actors? I'm sure there's lots of good Egyptian actors. Or not? You know, like, how do we want to see that? I think it's a good thing to consider. I would really say for any Christian and anybody who's planning to go see this movie, take the time beforehand, go find your Bible or a Bible and check out the book of Exodus and just read that section. Read this whole account, and then when you're done watching the movie, go back and read it again. That is going to be the most informed way of going into this film, because you're going to have a leg up. The other problem is that sometimes, if somebody hasn't read that part of the Bible for a long time, it may have gotten into their head that certain things are there that aren't there, because that movie, The Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille, is such an impactful movie that you may remember things from that movie thinking that they're from Scripture, and it actually may turn out that it's from Josephus or some other place, but not actually from Scripture itself. Just think of Scripture as like gold, and like other things as like silver, and eventually stuff that people are just making up is like straw.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. He'll be with us next week for a review of the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time doing our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament, Pastor Giese mentioned a moment ago. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 61 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.